Thank you for tuning in. We'll get to your program right after this short word from our sponsor.
In your company, a challenge? Are you battling turnover and struggling to draw key talent? Is your team not performing at the level you want? Problems present themselves through conflict, miscommunication, creative differences, unclear expectations, and motivational issues. ARC Integrated is here to address these challenges through executive coaching and customized interactive trainings. Create lasting positive change that will improve your bottom line and create a culture that attracts talent and reduces turnover by going to arcintegrated.com. That's arcintegrated.com.
What if investing in each other could change the world? I'm Joel Skeen with BizRadio.us, and this is the Mindful Marketplace. Welcome back. Welcome back. We are glad to have you here on the Mindful Marketplace on BizRadio.us. If you're a longtime listener, welcome back. But if this is your first time with us on this program, we're glad to have you. But just so you know, on this program, we talk to the entrepreneurs, advisors, industry leaders, investors, and economic experts who are not only solving a market problem to make a profit, but they're also solving a social problem to make an impact. It's where we learn how to connect our money and our businesses to our values, our community, and ourselves. Today, I'm going to be continuing my conversation with Robertson Work. Robertson is an author of several books, including A Compassionate Civilization, Spirit, Society, Self, Serving People and Planet, and The Critical Decade, 2020 to 2029. He's also an activist here in Western North Carolina, and I'm excited for us to all get to continue to learn from him. If you did not get to hear the first half of this episode, I highly encourage you to go back and listen to that. You get to hear about Robertson's background, his long service internationally with the UN, his teaching as a professor, as well as the books that he's written, and generally how he what his hope is for the future here for us during this critical decade. What we are going to dig into now, though, is we're going to go into a little bit more of the meat and potatoes of what he has been writing about on his blog and in his books. So, Robert, I want to first welcome you back into the conversation. So glad to have you.
Thank you, Joel. Really appreciate it. I look forward to our conversation today.
Yeah. You know, I am excited to get to dig in on this. There was a concept that you helped introduce to me along with my good friend Angela Barbash, who was also been on the show. She is a financial advisor who helps her clients invest their money not just into Wall Street, but actually into their local economies. And she actually told me about this book. And then when I met you, Robertson, you also mentioned this. And I thought, you know, this is a concept I should probably be looking into if two of the smartest people I know are talking about it. But it's called The Donut Economics. And I want to help our listeners understand this concept. And then we get to dig into what it actually means for businesses and what it can mean in the broader sense as far as society in general. And how you're using it in your local activism work with the Swannanoa River watershed. Tell us a little bit about what donut economics is. Is it for coffee and dessert? Are we having are we getting to have a snack here? I hope if you brought donuts, I will take one.
I'm not into donuts either, but it, yes. Yeah, I had heard about this book, this author, this concept years ago when I was. The donut economics was invented by Kate Raworth. Kate is a professor at Oxford University, and she realized that she could not teach economics, neoliberal economics. It didn't make sense. It was not what was needed. So she wrote this book, Seven Ways to Think Like a 21st Century Economist, with this catchy name, Donut Economics. And she called it donut because her model, she created a visual model that looks like a donut. It's circular and has a open center, like a donut hole. And it's kind of amazing. It's an image, and yet it's a concept, and yet it's revolutionary. And it has four dimensions. The ecological dimension, social dimension, the local dimension, and a global dimension. So she said, you know, our current economic theory and practice is is degenerative. It's harming the earth, and it's harming people, and it's divisive. It separates people between the rich and the poor, and other separations. She said we need to move to an economics that is regenerative, that heals the earth and cares for the earth and people, and is distributive, that so that everyone benefits, not just a few. So this is kind of her basic concept, that we have an ecological ceiling, and we don't want to get beyond that, or we have crises such as climate change and ecocide, the dieback of species of plants and animals, which we're in the midst of. We don't want to fall below the social foundation, or we have systemic poverty and suffering of people. So that's her model. She said, in between the ecological ceiling and the social foundation, we can create a just and safe space for humanity. And that's the donut, that safe and just space for humanity, where we're not overshooting the ecological ceiling, we're not falling below the social foundation. So her two key concepts, which I find is, it's so meaningful, powerful, motivating, is that what would it look like if a business wasn't just about profit at any cost to the environment or to labor, but was it regenerative and distributive? What if economics were focused on social justice and ecological regeneration? Wow. Now to me is so brilliant, so simple. Just those two areas. If business, and you talk about this as in your mindful marketplace, that business is more than profit; it's also benefiting all the people and all the environment. So that is her concept. He has a group called the Donut Economics Action Lab. It's online. Your listeners can look it up. The DEAL, the deal, Donut Economic Action Lab, just Google that, and you'll find a wealth of information and knowledge and inspiration about how people all over the world are applying these concepts, these methods, these practices in local communities, in government, local government, in businesses, and in schools. Those are the four areas primarily that people are practicing those. So a couple of years ago, some of us who live here in the Swannanoa watershed, the Swannanoa Valley, and are concerned about the people and the environment here, I got together and said, hey, what if we used this model of going to economics here in the Swannanoa watershed? So we created something called the Swannanoa Watershed Action Network, SWAN. And our slogan was, water, W-A-T-E-R. When all thrive, earth regenerates. Water. So the Swan Water was born, and it's a network. It's not an organization. Someday it might become an organization. But for now, it's a network of individuals and groups that are taking actions of ecological regeneration or social justice or both. And some of those actions that we're taking here in the Whanganui watershed are one of our members is providing zero interest loans to small farmers. Other members are making people aware of climate change and the need to adapt, with green energy and local gardens and mitigation, to reduce the carbon footprint, reduce carbon emissions. Other people in our group are keeping the Swannanoa River and streams clean and healthy. There are other members are providing opportunities for citizen dialogue in Black Mountain through town meetings. And there are members who are starting neighborhood discussions on solar energy, vegetable gardens, and aging in place. And other members who really want to prepare and conduct donut economic workshops here in the Swannanoa watershed in neighborhoods, in local government and with local businesses and in local schools. So that's a lot. I know I've covered an awful lot from the concept to what we're doing here in the Spartanoa watershed. Let me pause and see what your thoughts, reflections, questions are, and then we can continue.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent overview, creating that visual representation. It is good if you can Google image search the donut economic model so you can actually see it, but creating that green zone between, you know, kind of inside the donut is where there's not enough, and outside the donut is where there's kind of too much. It's not sustainable. But one thing that I think is really fundamental to this model is it just asks a different question. You know, the type of question we ask is going to determine the type of answer we get. When I was in, you know, learning business and sales, and I was first getting into that world, they said, you know, if you ask close-ended questions, you're going to get close-ended answers. But if you ask open-ended questions, you can get open-ended answers. So the type of question we ask is going to determine the type of answer that we can create from that question. And it seems like one of the fundamental questions that this model is asking is it's changing from a question, I should say, of that is traditionally in business, which is the central question to everything, which is how much financial value can we get from this enterprise? How much financial value can we extract from the earth, from the people that work for us, from all the different parts of the enterprise? How can we all have that serve the most financial value? And it seems like this model is changing that question. And instead of being limited to where it's saying how much financial value can we extract, it asks the question, how many benefits can we generate in the way we design this enterprise? So not just how can we make a profit, but what other benefits can we create for our society, for our community, for our employees, for our environment, for our education, for all of the different things that you mentioned. It really opens up a whole range of possibilities of what business can be about, rather than simply asking, what's the bottom line of how much financial value can we extract from this enterprise? Do you feel like that question is changes things in that way? And what have you seen that question lead to in your working with this model, both as teaching it, but also using it in the Swannanoa River, in the Swannanoa Water Action Network?
Yes, that was so clear. Thank you. You said it very powerfully. And it is, if I may use the word, it's revolutionary, you know, from saying, oh, business is just about profit for a few, who, as you say, benefit for all. That's a revolution. Meaning it's a whole new way of thinking and being and acting, and you know, that you really care about your workers, that there is a living wage, you know, that the CEO doesn't have to make, you know, 500 times what workers make. Like in Japan, you know, CEOs in Japan, in very successful companies, make a much smaller percentage multiplier of worker salaries. So, you know, we can decide what, and also in investing and as you say, extracting from nature that we have so harmed. If you look around the earth, we've so deforested and damaged the lungs of the earth, you know, the great jungles, and our ocean is full of plastic and toxicity, as are our rivers. Our soil is damaged with the pesticides and our air. So, you know, we human beings thought, oh, wow, the earth is just unlimited resources. No, not true. The earth is limited. It only has so much vegetation and so many trees and so much water and so many animals and plants. And there's a huge dieback of species of animals and plants around the world, you know, we're in trouble because of the business model. We thought, oh, well, this is great. We have this a super business model where we're just transforming the earth into money. No, money, you can't eat money, you can't breathe money, you can't drink money. You may need money to drink and eat, but that's what we've created, a world where you need money, which is just a symbol of value. We've turned a symbol into more value than the value of life and earth and people. That's insane. You know, I think we kind of went crazy with our business model, if I may say so, using that language. And it's time to wake up and say, oops, well, it's not working. You know, the human population when I was born in 1944 was 2.2 billion. It's now 8 billion. So we have been successful, you know, in providing a life for billions of people. But now it's turning against us. You know, we are with poison air and poison water and poison soil and loss of forestation and so on and so forth. So I'm going on and on. Let me pause there. And why don't you interject again with a comment or a question, and we continue.
Yeah, I feel like I could chat with you about this for a long time, but it's reminding me of the last guest that we had on, Max Mintz, was a values-based investor. So he's a financial advisor who helps he sits down with his clients, he figures out what's important to them, what types of companies that they want to support, what types of companies they don't want to support. And he uses a lot of different data and risk reporting to figure out, you know, how he can best align a client's retirement funds with their values. But one of the things that he talked about was how one of the things you mentioned, you know, water access, you mentioned, I'm forgetting the whole acronym, but, you know, water being so fundamental to our life, obviously, you know, the reason why there's not life on other planets a lot of times is because there's not water. And so he was talking about how if a factory happens to have regenerative, sustainable practices around their water source, you know, they aren't polluting the river next to them, that actually not only is good for the environment, but it's actually good for their risk profile when it comes to rating them and how risky that investment would be for someone to invest in that company. Because if they're taking care of their water supply, then they're not going to have to be reliant on other sources of water. They actually have a clean and regenerative water source that they can rely on. So this isn't just about, I mean, it sounds silly to say it's not just about saving the planet, because that seems like all encompassing, but it is also about actually thinking about the long-term profitability of businesses. And I think what this model is really talking about is we always talk about how innovation is a good thing. Disruption, transformation is a good thing. But a lot of our thinking when it comes to businesses is based on outdated processes, rigid financial targets, short-term thinking, you know, traditional cultures of hierarchy. But what it sounds like asking that different question of how many benefits can we create rather than how much financial value can we create, allows us to unlock transformative ideas, to suspend the idea of thinking we have to always think practically, but we can actually imagine outside of what already exists, broaden our perspectives, move us towards more long-term thinking, and create a culture of courage, of being willing to embrace change, to have new possibilities arise from a new mindset, and understand that transformative ideas are too often held back by our current thinking and culture. It's like, you know, what Einstein says, we cannot solve a problem with the same thinking we used to create those problems. So those are all my comments on what you just said. But I guess my question is, how can business owners, how can people who are, whether they're owning a small business or they are, they're in a startup situation or they're considering being in business, how can they really incorporate these types of questions and these types of thinkings to help them be more creative in their business ventures, to be more imaginative about the kinds of problems that their businesses could solve?
Yes, that's why it's great that we not only have the book, and you know, some people may want to get the book, either the ebook or the paperback of Donut Economics by Kate Raworth. But as I said, there's also the online website, the Donut Economics Action Lab, the deal, the real deal. And I would really urge people to go there and explore that website and look particularly, there's a section on business and on government, on communities, on, but focus on, look at the business, their tools, their stories of how the model is being applied in businesses in different countries around the world. And there are workshops. You can actually learn how to lead a discussion about this, Donut Economics in your business, which you can learn how to lead a workshop. There are videos. You can use short videos that excite people with the concept, the model, the possibility, the vision, the get their imaginations revved up. So I can't emphasize enough the availability of this website, the deal. The Donut Economic Action Lab is just a wealth of tools that anybody can use to first become acquainted with the model, become acquainted with the practice in other places, and then to begin to apply it, you know, in your own business. Hey guys, gals, look at this, you know, and give everybody the picture of the donut and get people talking about, you know, where in our business are we pushing up against the ecological ceiling, or where are people falling below the Social Justice Foundation? You know, where can we, what can we do with our product and our practice, you know, to create a safe and just space here in our county, our city, our world? And that's why I mentioned at the very beginning, Kate not only talks about what can you do locally, but how does your business affect the globe or the world beyond your local? So she has the local dimension, the global, as well as the ecological and the social. So I just I don't want to go into how to lead a workshop. And I think people can dive into the website and find out that.
Yeah, definitely check out the Donut Economics Lab. I think it's an excellent resource. And also check out the Swannanoa River, Swannanoa Action Network, the Swannanoa Watershed Action Network. If you are here in Western North Carolina, get involved locally. It's a fantastic network of people who are really doing their best to help make sure that we're creating a regenerative, sustainable environment in this area moving forward. Robertson, in the last 30 seconds we have here, how can people connect with you best? Is that on your blog, or where's the best way for people to keep up with what you're working on?
My writings are on Substack, so you can Google Substack, and my publication is called Compassionate Conversations. So if you Google Compassionate Conversations on Substack, that will come up. My blog is called The Compassionate Civilization. You can go there. My website is robertsonwork.org. And I also post on Facebook and LinkedIn. Those are a few places.
Excellent. Well, I hope everyone gets to connect with Robertson, gets to connect with the Donut Economics model. And I hope that this has been as enlightening a conversation for you as it has been for me. To all of you out there, you know, make sure to subscribe and leave a review on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Buzzsprout, all the rest. And make sure to listen to the other hosts here on bizradio.us. And until next time, take care of yourself and take care of someone else.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you just heard, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and be sure to visit bizradio.us to find hundreds of other engaging conversations, local events, and more.